You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
A report published 2 weeks ago by the Senlis Council, an elite international think tank, concluded that U.S. policies in Afghanistan have recreated the safe haven for terrorism that the 2001 invasion aimed to destroy. 36 Canadian soldiers and one diplomat have been killed since the Canadian mission to the country began in 2002. Meanwhile, in Canada, the NDP has finally called for the withdrawal of Canadian troops, and the Canadian military, nonetheless, is ramping up recruiting efforts. Last Friday, the Harper government also announced that it was increasing the country's troops in Afghanistan from 2,000 to 2,500. John Conway is a political sociologist. The University of Regina. He's also a freelance political writer and commentator, and he joins me now to discuss Canada's continued involvement in the U.S.-initiated war in Afghanistan. Good afternoon, John.
Good afternoon.
Why don't we start, if you could tell us a little bit about what we know of the situation on the ground in Afghanistan 5 years after the American-British invasion and Canada's involvement.
Well, we know things have got worse, both for the Afghan people, of course, and, of course, for our own troops who are dying in this stupid war, but also in terms of the resurgence of the Taliban. In fact, we've created the conditions. When I say we, I mean the West, the Senlis Council and the International Institute of Strategic Studies, both of whom are hardly anti-war organizations, have done an assessment and said we have the military intervention has caused lawlessness, misery, starvation, refugees who aren't being cared for, and has become a prime breeding ground for the resurgence of the Taliban and their allies. And of course, the Taliban has been busy building a much broader alliance to fight the foreign occupiers. There's been virtually no reconstruction taking place, and the Taliban is returning to prominence. Strategic analysts say if it weren't for the overwhelming superiority of American air power, the troops on the ground of Britain, the United States, and Canada would be routed in a matter of days or weeks.
What about the poverty of the Afghan people? What's the situation that reports like Senlis provide about that?
Well, it's out of control. I mean, there is simply no relief, effectively. I mean, this great operation in south of Kandahar that Canada allegedly killed 1,000 Taliban troops but couldn't find any bodies to confirm it, just basically wiped out villages. I mean, the people were gone, but the whole infrastructure, the whole community has been destroyed, and people are returning to their farmlands, their olive groves, and their homes, and they're just destroyed, and they have no relief in place. You know, it's getting worse. People are facing starvation.
Meantime, NATO, rather in the midst of the military campaign in the Kandahar region, NATO said, oh, we need more troops, we need more troops, and the British, Canadians, and the Dutch can't do it all. What response have they gotten from these public confessions of desperation?
Well, so far, NATO, other NATO countries, of course, have not stepped up to the plate, as a favorite term of our Prime Minister. Although he and Peter MacKay are continuing to put pressure, as I'm sure Condoleezza Rice and George Bush are. But basically, I think the NATO countries are listening to the reports of the strategic analysts who are saying this war is not winnable, and it's never been winnable. And the British Empire couldn't win the war in Afghanistan, and the Soviet Union couldn't win the war in Afghanistan. And NATO, I think, increasingly, at least privately, is coming to the conclusion that this NATO coalition can't win the war in Afghanistan. And why are you going to throw men and women into a hopeless situation and see them die?
Well,
for me, as a Canadian, besides the horrors of what's happening to the Afghan people, the horrors for me, because, of course, I used to be in the military, are what we're doing to our young men and women sitting over there in a needless war that really is basically part of the American war of domination in the region.
The speaking of the casualties of Canadians, this week the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives issued a report saying from their calculation of statistics, Canadian soldiers were dying at a greater rate than other NATO soldiers. Nonetheless, Stephen Harper went to the United Nations, rah, 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 for support of our troops. He seems to be completely unfazed by information such as that provided by the CCPA.
This is what I find so appalling about this Prime Minister, is that he is unconscionable. He refuses to listen to wise advice, the experts, the analysts, those who know the history of Afghanistan and its politics. He is so ideologically motivated that he has to somehow serve the American Empire by winning this alleged war on terror that he is totally blind to the facts. I mean, that study actually showed that our troops are dying at six times the rate that American troops are dying in Iraq in terms of the proportion to the number of troops, and that we are dying two in five of all the deaths, all non-U.S. deaths in Afghanistan have been Canadians. And it projects that if we stay there, which now, of course, is far beyond 2009, if Harper has its way, there's going to be at least 140 casualties. And that's at present rates. And I suspect the Taliban is getting ready for further offensives.
The NDP at its convention in early September came out calling for withdrawal.
Finally, if I may say, many of us have been calling for withdrawal ever since Khrushchev first sent the troops over there.
I'm glad
the NDP has finally come around to public opinion.
Why do you think they were brought around?
Because of public opinion. I mean, public opinion on this yo-yo is because of the people have this schizophrenic feeling of guilt, because on the one hand they're called on to support our troops over there who are dying, and of course we all want to do that. We sympathize with the families, we grieve with them, but at the same time we aren't convinced this is where they should be. So right now, the latest poll by the Strategic Council put 49% of Canadians opposed to the war and wanting to bring the troops home, and 43% in favor. And the last poll said 54% wanted them to come home and so on, and 38% wanted to keep them there. So it keeps yo-yoing, and often it depends on the propaganda initiatives by the Harper government, the big funerals and the big meetings, and now they've had the president of Afghanistan here weeping crocodile tears about our Canadian death. I mean, all these, what I call propaganda theater, probably will push the poll up a bit in favor of the war, but it'll go back to people being opposed to it, because it's madness, and most Canadian people have from the beginning felt that way about it.
To the NDP for a second, I read this week an article that Alexa McDonough, the NDP foreign affairs critic, wrote in a Halifax paper. And while she left with you with the impression that Canadian troops would be better off outside of Afghanistan, withdrawn, she never once, right after the convention passed a clear resolution on that fact, in the article, which was entirely on Afghanistan, called for the withdrawal of Canadian troops.
I know. I mean, and I think there's this fear in the NDP about political repercussions, which you know, is simply not appropriate. I mean, even in terms of your cynical real politics, I think it's a good political position that's consistent against the war would serve them better in terms of building their constituency than this kind of waffling. But maybe some of these leadership types have profound ideological doubts about whether or not they support George Bush and Chrétien and Harper in this adventure. Certainly the NDP has been reasonably silent on this up until recently.
When we turn to the Bloc in Quebec, a party one would expect, given the sentiments in Quebec, are even stronger for the withdrawal of Canadian soldiers, expect them to be for that withdrawal. They took a position, Gilles Duceppe in Parliament, dissociating himself from the NDP and saying now was not the time to withdraw.
Well, again, I don't know what it is. It's fear of not looking statesmanlike, fear of offending our NATO partners, fear of offending the U.S., fear of getting a bad reputation among the councils of the nations of not being a reliable partner in these kind of adventures. All of these things are probably playing in their minds. But the reality is that if that's the case, they are suffering from some kind of illusion that this actually can work in some way, and it can't. I mean, I'm really, really, really depressed about the media coverage we get. We have no investigative journalism into it. The true feelings of a lot of the troops, probably because if they did stories on that, they would be spiked anyway. The media is playing the role of cheerleader. I mean, there's just no opposition from the media at all in terms of their investigations and their reporting on this war. Well, I shouldn't say no. There's little, very little. So it's interesting that the Canadian public opinion has resisted that. I mean, the circus we had when the president of Afghanistan came here, I mean, where were the stories on the fact that he was handpicked by the U.S. and named leader in Bonn long before he returned to Afghanistan? Where was the story about the election? There were all sorts of allegations of fraud. It lasted only 1 month, that he has so little support out of Kabul, he's called the mayor of Kabul in Afghanistan. I mean, they treated him like he was this incredible statesman. Where were the stories about his role as an oil consultant prior, before? Allegations about links to the CIA, allegations that his brother is involved in the opium trade, and that's why he won't allow the U.S. Air Force to spray the opium crops. I mean, let's have the true story of who this guy is, instead of treating him like some kind of a hero.
And he came to a rally in Ottawa with Stephen Harper. There were reported 10,000. A significant number of people were certainly there.
Yes.
Where did those people come from?
Well, from my reading of the reports, basically it was rooted in the Petawawa families, the military families of Petawawa, who wanted to make a statement about their sons and daughters going to Afghanistan and risking their lives and dying. And I think it spread from there. I don't know the details of the organization. I'm sure they had a lot of help from the Conservative Party. I mean, it was a significant political event, but of course nowhere near the numbers that will probably now have to be mobilized by the anti-war group to show that the sentiment is strongly opposed to the war. But what's interesting about the theme around that rally, of course, was support our boys, or our troops. We can't say that anymore because a lot of women are over there fighting too, but support our troops in Afghanistan. And that's a mixed message, because I know a lot of people who agree, you know, we got to support our troops, but at the same time say we shouldn't be there. So it was a bit of a mixed message, because a lot of Canadians say, yeah, we should rally around our troops, but we should bring them home. They shouldn't be there. And it's sort of, how do you handle this contradiction in your own mind as a Canadian? On the one hand, you feel sympathy for the families, and you want to show our young men and women who are being sacrificed by a stupid government policy that you admire their courage and their duty and, you know, they're following orders of the Canadian government. But at the same time, you think the whole thing is stupid and it shouldn't be done in the first place. How do you support them? Well, finally, during the Vietnam War, the anti-war movement said, well, we have to be very clear, bring the troops home now. And that's what we should be saying in Canada. Support our troops, bring them home now.
The Canadian forces have intensified their recruiting campaign for the military, particularly
Isn't that interesting?
In areas like Atlantic Canada, on centers of Native population, saying, of course, these people have a tradition of military service, obviously coming from depressed economic conditions. How's that campaign going?
So far, I hear it's going very badly. There's been a lot of ambivalence among young people about these warlike ads. I'm sure they'll appeal to the psychopaths who want to go and kill and have adventures. But, of course, the military tries to weed those out because they're not particularly reliable in the field. But, I mean, the violent nature of these ads, I think, are scaring a lot of young people as much as perhaps they're helping. But they're a new effort, because the goal was to recruit, I think, 6,400 or 6,500 troops into the military, or members into the military, by the end of this year. And the last report I heard, they were below half that. And, of course, the year ends in a few months. So they're getting a bit desperate because the recruitment effort isn't working. And of course, historically, in every country, especially in the U.S. and Canada, the military draws most of its recruits from people who are economically deprived or have fewer opportunities, and that's why you get a lot of blacks and Puerto Ricans and so on in the military in the States, and that's why we get a lot of Maritimers, Aboriginal Canadians, people from rural areas into Canadian military, because it's an opportunity for education, trades training, getting out from what appears to be a hopeless situation, opening doors. And I mean, I have to confess, I joined the Army when I was 17 to go to Royal Roads Military College for a free education, because I lived in Moose Jaw and we didn't have the money. You know, this is that's not even working any longer, because I think as this hot war continues, I mean, this is the first time we've been involved in a war of aggression, of invasion, occupation, and aggressive combat since Korea. And it's not going down well with Canadians and Canadian young people as well. I think there's a lot of ambivalence about it. They're not sure how to respond to it, but I don't see a massive groundswell of support. I mean, we're not like America, you know, the center of empire, who stands astride the globe. I mean, why are we doing this? What's in it for us? Are there any Canadian interests at stake in Afghanistan, other than currying George Bush's favor? If you were an American, you might actually agree with the empire first argument, that this is in the interest of the American empire to go out and make sure that we put down every resistor to the American plan. But that doesn't make sense for Canadians.
Thanks a lot, John, and we'll see you out symbolically on October 28th when the Cross Canada Troops Out of Afghanistan rallies are held.
Yeah, and I'd like to predict that there's going to be a hell of a lot more than 10,000 people at those rallies across Canada.
Let's hope. Okay, and work for it. Okay. Alrighty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I've been speaking with John Conway. He's a political sociologist at the University of Regina and a freelance political writer and commentator.